Number seven, this is our 2015 through 16 sport fishing regulation proposal, and this is a decision. Welcome, Craig.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Director Anderson, Deputy Director Store. For the record, Craig Burley, Fish Management Division Manager. And today we'll be looking to the Commission for action on our sport rules for the upcoming 15-16 season. So what we'd like to do today is just briefly describe the rule process and the materials that you have before you. You've got quite a bit of materials in your notebook, and we'll provide some orientation there for those. And then, as we have in the last two meetings, we will provide our recommendations, and we've organized those by region. And as we go through those rules, we also have organized them with respect to proposals that we recommend as adopt as presented at the September meeting. We have a number of rules that we're going to ask that you adopt as modified. We have one rule that we'll recommend that you do not adopt. And then finally, we do have one rule that we've prepared some options for that we'll talk through. So we'll go through those proposals at each of the regional presentations. There'll be an opportunity for the Commission to ask any questions, have any discussion that you'd like. And then at the end of that, I'd ask for a main motion, and we'll have that delineated on the presentation. After the main motion, then there's opportunity for amendments. And we'll, again, walk through those groupings relative to the amendments. So as you recall, we solicited public proposals in the April-June time period. We received a number of those proposals, and in the August-December time period, we solicited public comment on all those proposals. We received about 750 or so comments through online, as well as email and testimony that was received at the hearing in December. September, we briefed the Commission. December, again, was the public hearing, and we're here today requesting Commission action on the sport rule package. So in your notebooks, you do have the summary sheet, and on the second page of that summary sheet is the draft main motion language. In your notebook, as well as the summary of all of the proposals that we've moved through this process. Pretty extensive document that shows the recommended changes to the Washington Administrative Code relative to these proposals. And then finally, there's some supplemental material that Tammy handed out to you, and one is a table that shows the number and title of each of the proposals, as well as our recommendations. That looks like this here. I'll be referring to that as we move into the motion and amendment process. And then you should have some draft motion language and proposed WAC amendments for an option three for the Grand Ronde. And so we'll move right into our recommendations for the regulations that we have before you. And we'll have Chris Donnelly, our Inland Fish Program Manager, here talk about the Columbia Basin-wide rules. Then John Wayland, Region 1, and Jeff Korth, Region 2, will come up and describe the recommendations for Regions 1 and 2. And then finally, John Easterbrooks and Cindy LaFleur from Regions 3 and 5 will come up. They'll walk through their recommendations, and then I'll return to walk through the main motion language and amendments. So with that, I turn it over to Chris.
Thanks, Greg. Madam Commissioner, Commissioners, I'll go over the rules that I have that are basin-wide. As Craig referenced, there'll be three groups, beginning with Group A, which we would call adopt rules as proposed. The three that are basin-wide that you saw in September, also again last month, and now as final proposals are Rule Proposal 3, the Black Friday opener, Rule Proposal 4, Tenkara fly fishing, and Rule Proposal 6, the statewide general walleye rules. Basin-wide rules that are modified from what you had seen previously are, and I grouped these to try to speed this up, Rule Proposal 1, which is technical changes to the WAC documents, and Proposal 2, removing internal combustion motors on small streams. Both of these have small technical changes that are contained within the 102 WAC language that the CES document in your notebook and in the documents that have been out to the public, we are trying to catch that 102 language up with what we had in terms of small changes and technical changes to be captured. So an example of that is we have sturgeon rules in a number of places within the WAC language. We grabbed those sturgeon rules and consolidated them into one place. Those are the types of technical changes that we're talking about. As far as the internal combustion motors, there is one new issue that you have not seen that will now be contained within the WAC, and that issue is around Rock Creek in Adams-Whitman County. We had the name road incorrect, so instead of George Knot, it's Jordan Knot. Those, just to give you an indication of the small type changes that we're discussing here. In the other portion of Group B that goes across basin-wide, we had the Columbia Basin Stream Strategy. Most of what we proposed to you in the September meeting and came back last month and discussed remains the same. The same technical fix issues fall into that category as well. But having said that, there will be four major changes that John Easterbrooks, John Whalen, Cindy LaFleur will bring up to you as we go through this presentation. The first being mandatory hatchery steelhead retention. The Klamath River, we have a new piece of that that we are proposing to open, removing mandatory hatchery retention on the main stem Snake River, and then there'll be some modified language for Grand Ron River mandatory hatchery steelhead retention. And then finally, for basin-wide, in Group C, which is the do not adopt, we would talk about them modifying some year-round lakes to March 1. This rule was intended to give us a lake opener on small bodies of water in central Washington as an ability for us to market or advertise fishing opportunity and build some excitement around openers. As we went through the public process, we had a fairly large portion of people in central Washington who did not like that idea. Having listened to what they said, we would come to you today and ask that we not adopt that rule. And with that, I would go to questions.
Just as a practice, when you have acronyms that some new commissioners might not be familiar with, probably a good idea to explain it. CES, everybody understand what a CES document is?
My apologies, a concise explanatory statement, which is the I guess the layman's language that we would give to you for the proposals as opposed to expecting you to understand the WAC code. I'm not even clear if I understand all the WAC code. So I think the CES is a nice way for us to explain those rule changes.
And so it provides a rationale.
Yes, it does, Madam Chair. And it's in your notebook. It's the summary document that's right after the summary sheet, and has the narrative for each of the proposals.
Thank you. Commissioner Caney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know you've covered this in the past meetings, but just for the record, could you go over one more time the stream strategy closure philosophy, that it really doesn't change, other than what's listed here, change what people can fish, which just creates a new way to look at it.
It could change what people could fish, because the exercise was to look at every stream within the Columbia Basin and decide whether that should be listed. As if it's listed, that means it's open. If it's not listed, it's now closed. The old strategy that we had in the basin is if it was listed, it was open. And so there are some things that may have been picked up in the exercise where we never thought about that as a fishery. And so that stream falls out as one that, well, it had bull trout in it, and we had missed a rule, so we may have closed it now. But really, it doesn't ultimately change how the rules work. We think it makes it simpler, because if it's not listed in the pamphlet, it's not open to fish. So if you're up to a stream and you look and it's not there, then that's not one that we have any rules on.
Commissioner Holtzbauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the Grand Around, I see that you have from September 15th to March 15th, it is unlawful to fish from a floating device equipped with an internal combustion motor. I think, and don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty certain this is right, that there got to be some issues with people running up the ground with jet boats, and they worked through it. And now you cannot be on the Grand Around unless there's so many cubic feet coming down it. Basically, what it is people got to running up there in high water just for fun. And generally, they figured it after it was above, I don't know how many, 8,000 feet or some dang thing, that they weren't going to be interfering with fishing.
There's two closures that the county instituted in Assotin County. The specific dates I do not remember in terms of internal combustion motors allowed, but the trigger flow I do remember, and it's 3,000 cubic feet per second.
Is that what it
was? And the issue was for whitewater rafters during the summer and spring months, and then steelhead anglers later in the season. There was this concern about when flows are below 3,000 cubic feet, you're essentially standing in the thalwag to fish, and the boat needs to use that as well. So that was handled through the county.
Right.
And what we've done is tried to follow along with their rules in how we proposed the ICM rule here for in the pamphlet.
Okay, I didn't know if there was dates on it, but I remember the flow part of the deal.
There is specific dates, and I believe we followed those dates, okay. But maybe John Whalen, when he comes up here, could correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, like I said, people weren't running up there in boats to fish. They were just going up to play.
Yeah.
But I didn't know whether that was going to be going against the county.
I do not believe we're against.
Okay.
I think that we're with.
Okay, thank you.
So maybe if I could also clarify, Commissioner Holtzmiller, so we've tried to align our fishing regulations to address the county requirements. Of course, these only apply to when people are fishing, so our rules are trying to align with the county ordinance relative to the use of motors, regardless of the activity that they're doing. So with that, I'd ask John Whalen and Jeff Korth to come up.
Madam Chair, Commissioners, Director, Deputy Director, in looking at the two that we were recommending to go as provided in September and the other meetings, we're looking at proposal number 8, which was the Snake River sturgeon rule to basically allow catch and release fishing in the lower reservoirs for the Snake River and take off the harvest opportunity. And the second one was the Spring of Blue Lakes, moving those lakes to year-round. Category B, and following through with what Craig and Chris had mentioned, would be rules that we would look at modifying. So under the stream strategies for Columbia Basin Region 1, Snake River mandatory retention in the main stem, we would look at removing that mandatory steelhead retention. And the reasons for this are looking to retain concurrent regulations with Idaho and the boundary waters, and also lessen some of the potential for confusion with anglers working in that boundary water area, and also emphasizing the mandatory retention of steelhead, hatchery steelhead, in the terminal areas where we feel like we have the ability to effectively work on that, emphasize the removal of hatchery fish in those terminal areas, and where we see that there's probably more of an opportunity where people would be doing catching and releasing and looking to try to promote the retention. Another option B for Region 1 under the stream strategies for the Grand Ronde, we had put together three options for consideration, which we've got also in the materials that you have in front of you. Option one would be is do not adopt the proposed changes for the Grand Ronde, retain the administrative codes as they currently are in the regulations. Option two would be is to adopt the proposal as submitted in September, and this would include the retention of up to three hatchery steelhead fish in the lower section. So the Grand Ronde is identified into two management zones, the lower section, which is from the mouth up to the County Road Bridge, approximately 2.5 miles, and then the section from that bridge upstream to the Oregon border. So the lower section, again, would have the option under the roll package to have retention opportunity and have mandatory retention in the upper section. The option three would be a modification of that proposal, which would we would look at looking at mandatory retention for hatchery steelhead up to three fish in a January 1 through April 15 timeframe for both of these zones. You'll also see in your materials we would look at moving in another piece of the original proposal, which would be having no minimum size for trout that had an adipose clip and a healed scar. The option three, the staff recommendation would be to go with option three, which would be the seasonal mandatory retention in both of the zones. We looked at consideration for comments that we received on this, extensive comments, at least from my perspective. We got quite a few comments. And the key areas that we looked at were the economics, the local issues as far as concerns for that unique fishery in the lower section particularly, for catch and release opportunity, and also potential for crowding and gear types. And then the upper river zone, and coordinating with Oregon, they're a run timing issue. Basically, the fish that would come in that September-October timeframe are predominantly destined for Oregon, and they felt that this would cause some potential issues with their harvest opportunity. So the proposal that we have that we're recommending coordinated with Oregon, and they support this proposal. With that, I'll ask if there's any questions.
Any questions? Commissioner Mankin?
Yes. Last night in the Fish Committee meeting, we went through these proposals and pretty much agreed on most of them. There was something that jumped out to three of the commissioners after the meeting, which was the sturgeon issue, which is the Snake River sturgeon issue, and it reads, closes harvest while maintaining catch and release fishing for sturgeon in the lower Snake River reservoirs from Ice Harbor Dam upstream to the Oregon State border, including all tributaries of the Snake River above Ice Harbor Dam. One thing that I think is a little concerning to the three of us is we never did see any kind of abundance information for that stock. And as I recall, that stock and the stocks in other reservoirs within the state could maintain or could harbor stocks of fish that were in low abundance and perhaps genetically unique, as over time there's been little exchange between those reservoirs. Do you have any abundance information, genetic stock identification information for those stocks of fish?
We do have information, particularly looking at adults, set line surveys, and some information that we're starting to acquire through Bonneville funding for juvenile surveys. And part of the rationale for putting forward the proposal, this was a staff recommendation, was the limited information we do have shows that those populations, particularly in the lower reservoir areas, are not being able to, we're not seeing recruitment that is consistent recruitment, and probably to the extent that it would be able to sustain what we see as far as the returns that we have for harvest on those stocks of fish in the lower reservoirs. So we do have information. We could certainly provide that to the commission.
Yeah, we agree with moving to catch and release, but our question, I guess, is should we cease all harvest altogether?
Well, under this proposal, that would be essentially what we would have for the snake would be there would be no harvest opportunity. So there is harvest that would be remaining below Ice Harbor, which would be in association with the main Columbia River, and that lower section is its concurrent waters. That would be the only area in the snake that would still have some harvest opportunity.
John, I think what the chair was saying, the chair of the Fish Committee, is there a incidental mortality on the catch and release fishery, and has that been examined or discussed?
Commissioner Schmidt, no, we haven't really looked at that particular issue at this point.
And it says maintain, closes harvest while maintaining catch and release. Is this the first year we've gone to catch and release, or maintaining the catch and release that we've had in place?
We've had catch and release fishing above Lower Granite Dam for a number of years. This proposal, if supported by the commission, would basically put that catch and release in the areas below Lower Granite Dam. So everything between what was above Ice Harbor and below Lower Granite would now go to catch and release.
Thank you.
Thanks. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Madam Chairman, Commissioners, Directors, and Deputy Directors. I'm Jeff Korth. I'm the Regional Program Manager for Region 2. It's my pleasure to say that we have 10 proposals that were presented to you in September, and there have been no modifications to any of the Region 2 proposals. So I'm going to put them up on several slides here, just go through them to give you a chance. It's page 17 if you're on your in your binder there, if there's any questions at this point. So the first one's extending fishing opportunity through the month of October for mostly lakes in the Okanagan, in the Methow Valley. Not only did this provide some more opportunity, but it also kind of trued up the closing dates on most of those lakes. We've been liberalizing, number 11, liberalizing our eastern brook trout harvest regulations. In particular, in some lakes, we're actually opening up, whether it be a higher limit or removing it from the trout limit. Upper and lower Green Lakes, this was kind of a climate change deal. We used to see ice in the Green Lakes in March. We don't see that anymore, and so the switch to the selective gear rules was warranted to come in earlier. Molson Lake, that's another alignment with nearby lakes, have the same limits. Number 14, this is mostly in Grant County, and it's another alignment where a number of small lakes that we do not intensively manage for trout fishing anymore, putting them on the year-round season. They're more appropriate for spiny ray fisheries. Big Beaver, Beth, Little Beaver Lakes, that's another alignment. Rufus Woods, eliminating chumming, that was an old rule from the days of when we had a kokanee fishery in Rufus Woods. We don't have that anymore, and this aligns our regulations with the Colville Tribe's regulations. Upper Wheeler Reservoir is a new fishery that we've been running by emergency rule for the last 3 years. It's we propose to make that a permanent rule. It's become popular, and everybody that's involved, it's on irrigation district land, and they're comfortable with the fishery at this point, so we propose to make that a permanent rule. Wapato Lake is aligning the regulations for spiny rays and trout fishery. It's a mixed species fishery to make it more appropriate rules to conduct these spiny ray fisheries. And Washburn Lake Eastern Brook Trout, that's a situation where we're actually creating a trophy brook trout fishery with triploid brook trout so that we're not endangering or introducing brook trout where we don't want them. Are there any questions on these regulations?
Any questions? You make it easy on us.
You've made it easy on me. I would like to address Commissioner Caney's question about the stream strategy. Of course, I'm very sensitive to the things that have happened, particularly the recent editorial in the OMAC Chronicle. What's really happened in Region 2 through the stream strategy is people are going to be more aware of the opportunities that always existed. So for a lot of tributaries, especially the smaller tributaries, they weren't listed in the pamphlet. Thereby, they became they were regulated under statewide rules, under the old way of our doing business. Now they're going to be listed. People will actually be aware that these streams are open for fishing. I think in the past, a lot of people just weren't aware because they didn't see them in the listing. So in some ways, it'll make the opportunities that were always available more apparent. Some of those opportunities that where we saw that we had them under statewide rule and probably by oversight back in the 90s, we've changed those to either catch and release or selective gear rules as appropriate. And in a lot of cases, we just left them as statewide rules. So I think it's going to be a positive thing for the people in Okanagan County.
Commissioner Caney.
Yeah, I appreciate that because I felt the editorial missed the point myself. And from listening to the discussions here that you presented and whatnot, I felt it was a very good thing and would clear some things up and make it easier for everyone. So appreciate those comments.
Thank you.
Okay.
Electronics is not my forte.
Madam Chair, Commissioners, Director Anderson, Deputy Director Storr. Hi, I'm John Easterbrooks. I'm the Fish Program Manager in Region 3. And like Jeff, I'm going to try to make it easy on you. I have five Group A proposals, adopt as proposed. We recommend that you adopt as proposed, starting on page 23 in your binders. The first one, Proposal 20, expands some two-pole opportunity in the Yakima Basin and in the Hanford Reach. Bumping Lake and Rimrock Lake would in the Natchez drainage would be open for two-pole, and then Lower Yakima River from the mouth to Prosser Dam, and in the Hanford Reach up to from the Highway 395 bridge to Priest Rapids. So the dates, it's year-round in the lakes, and in the Hanford Reach there are different dates that this would apply, but this was supported by the public, and in fact some people wanted more, but we think this is a good opportunity to increase recreational opportunity. Number 21, this is the Lake Clallam, Kokanee, Sockeye proposal. Basically, this is to support and enhance the sockeye reintroduction into Lake Clallam. And so we've got the change in the daily limit from 16, the current 16, down to 5. Essentially, Kokanee would be included in the trout statewide daily limit of 5 trout. And then we have the slot limit
9-inch to 15-inch, which protects juvenile sockeye and adult sockeye that are brought over from Priest Rapids by the Yakima Nation, the donor stock for the reintroduction. Had a lot of good testimony, and very predominantly everyone thinks this is a good idea. This is a good rule change. People really want the sockeye reintroduction to be successful. So, again, we would recommend you adopt this one. McCabe Pond, this is a little pond in Kittitas County, south of Ellensburg, and we want to allow anglers to fish from floating devices, non-motorized floating devices, and it provides some additional opportunity. We've got some riparian shoreline damage from anglers because they've been restricted to fishing from the bank. Most commenters support it. So that one we would recommend you adopt. 23, Cochise Catchalus Kokanee daily limit, reducing it from the current 16 to align with a 10-fish Kokanee limit, which is typical, particularly on the east side of the state in the major Kokanee waters. These are lakes that that are supported with stocking hatchery fry, don't have really strong natural recruitment, unlike Rimrock Lake or Bumping over on the Natchez. And then the last one is the one that garnered probably half of all the comments submitted. This is the Natchez River catch and release expansion. We're recommending that we go ahead and adopt this change. The majority of commenters support it, particularly folks from the west side, almost unanimous. I come over the hill to fish the Natchez, they supported it. In the Yakima Basin, the local angling community, we did have a majority. It wasn't as big a majority. Roughly 55% of the folks in the Yakima Basin support the change. 45% are opposed to it, and they are typically folks that live right near the Natchez. By and large, it was the overwhelming support has caused us to recommend that we go ahead and adopt this rule change and extend it. And as you know, it would leave the lower Natchez from the Tyatin River down, lower 17 and a half miles, open for trout retention. And it would have the same regulation as the adjacent portion of the Yakima River where the Natchez comes in. So that is it for Region 3.
Okay.
Do you have any questions?
Any questions, anyone? Okay, thank you.
Good morning. Cindy LaFleur for Region 5. I'm going to flip back to an earlier slide that we need to talk about a little bit under the stream strategy. Now I don't know where it is. Here we go. Under the major changes, Chris told you that there was going to be four major changes, and I just want to talk about the first one on the list, the mandatory hatchery steelhead retention. So based on comments from the public, we are recommending that when we have this in place, that we increase the daily limit to 3 fish instead of 2. And so now there's some exceptions to that, but generally that's the recommendation. So I just wanted to make sure everybody saw that. Now I'm going to talk about Region 5 and the adopt as proposed. The Elokamon River is a early opener. Lake Skaniwa's increased area, Little Klickitat, is opening it for seniors. And then South Roland Lake, number 29, is the year-round opener. We're recommending all of those, as well as the Elokamon, South Fork, Tootle, and Green for the seasonal removal of the barbless hook rule. Implement barbless hooks for about 2 months. Salmon Creek is an expanded area opener, so we're recommending all those adopt. And then the modification on the Kalama is the area that we're talking about here is above the anadromous waters, so it should be open for trout opportunity. And then on the Cowlitz, the modification is to change the lower boundary to the Lexington Bridge, which is some ways up from the mouth, and it's all because that's consistent with our current two-pole boundary, and it also reduces the harvest of non-cowlet stock fish that mill in the river mouth when the water's cool, especially in the summer and fall. So we're asking for that modification. And then in Swift, we had a maximum size limit that we recommended, and we're asking to change that to only hatchery trout because beginning this year, all the hatchery trout that are going to be put up there will be adipose fin clipped, so we don't need the size limit. It accomplishes the same thing. And that's it for Region 5.
Nicely done. Thank you. All right. Any questions? Doesn't look like any. So now the business, the work begins. Mr. Vice Chair, I hope you're ready for main motion, and then we'll have a series of amendments to the main motion. Right?
Yes, Madam Chair. So the way we have this designed, actually, with the main motion as drafted here, will cover all of the rules that we've recommended as presented, as well as those that we've identified as recommend as modified. So any additional amendments that the commission would like to make, and then there's one that we're recommending, and that's for the Grand Ronde. So the main motion should, at least from staff recommendations, cover everything except the Grand Ronde.
Oh, okay. What there is the same as in the book, or is it changed?
It's the same.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Commissioner Mencken is prepared to make.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah.
I don't want to take anything away from you.
No, I willingly handedly.
Commissioner, you all are prepared to help us through this complicated motion process. Great, Commissioner Mencken.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt permanent amendments to WAC 220-56-105 river mouth definitions, WAC 220-56-210 fly fishing, WAC 220-55-220 two-pole endorsement, WAC 220-56-282 sturgeon areas, seasons, limits, and unlawful acts, WAC 220-56-510 game fish possession limits and size limits, WAC 220-310-175 freshwater exceptions to statewide rules general, WAC 220-310-185 freshwater exceptions to statewide rules southwest, WAC 220-310-195 freshwater exceptions to statewide rules east side, WAC 220-310-200 freshwater exceptions to statewide rules Columbia, as presented by staff.
Okay, the motion's been made. Do I hear a second? Commissioner Schmitten, you'll do the honors. Okay, motion's on the table. So we now entertain some amendments.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I just wanted to mention that the main motion that was just read was accurate. The one on the screen missed one of the whacks, so we're good to go in terms of any amendments.
Okay.
So one way we could do that is I could ask if the Commission has any amendments for any of the Group A proposals that the staff recommended to adopt as okay. proposed.
Does anyone have any amendments? Commissioner Holtzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, I'd like to thank John and Chris for working with us on this. It's really refreshing to see when orders come down from on high and then we can adjust them for the local community. I really appreciate what you two guys have done. So I would like to amend the motion on the Grand Round River as presented in option 3.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Okay. The motion has been made and seconded to amend the main motion for the Grand Round River as presented in option 3. Any discussion on the amendment to the main motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion's been amended. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So if there are no additional amendments from Group B, then I would propose to move into Group B.
Okay.
So in Group B, the technical changes, the internal combustion motors prohibition, Cowlitz River, Tupole, and Swift Reservoir. Are there any commission amendments for those proposals?
Any amendments? I hear none.
Relative to the Rule 5 stream strategy, the three that we mentioned were the increasing the mandatory steelhead retention to 3, Kalama River, and dropping the mandatory retention language for Snake River.
Any amendments? I hear none.
And the Commission has taken action on this amendment for the Grand Ron. So that leaves the recommendation from staff to not adopt the Lake, the March 1 opener modification.
And this would be an amendment that would be required. It is staff recommendation that we amend it to eliminate the March 1 opener.
The main motion, Madam Chair, covers this amendment, so no amendments required. Okay. I'm just offering if the Commission has any changes.
Do I hear any amendments? I hear none.
So with that, then, the Commission has the main motion that covers all the proposals, including the amendment for the Grand Ron River, which would complete the package.
Okay. The motion's been amended, and so we're ready to discuss the main motion that has been amended. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Really well done. You made that very simple. Okay. Commissioner Schmitten?
Chair, let me just embellish on the well done's. we need to thank Craig for the process. In effect, we're compiling 3 years of proposed sports regs. That's 377 pages down to the simplified form that he's provided for us, the A, B, and C approach, with any amendments that we may have. And it's pretty amazing. The other thing I personally appreciate, although I like hearing from you, Craig, all the time, but bringing the five regional managers, two Johns, Jeff, and Cindy before us for to present their regional piece. I just think that makes a really good flow. And then also the Fisheries Management Division Chief Chris. Just a footnote. It seemed an easy thing to do. We've done it in the past, but a mandatory hatchery steelhead retention is a big, big deal. This time we were moving 2 to 3 fish, but what that is doing is reducing the competition on the spawning grounds between wild and hatchery fish. What we're really doing is assuring ourselves or helping assure that we get a NOAA permit. Because they're very conscientious about the ESA wild listed steelhead and getting enough wild fish to return. So it's just a really important thing. I can recall when it first went in the Upper Columbia River, it was difficult for the catch and release crowd to do. And once it became very clear, your option is no fishing or to follow the catch and retain hatchery fish, I think we have very good compliance now, and I thank all those of you that have been involved in putting that together. Thank you.
Commissioner Holtzmiller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And John and Chris and I talked about this, that maybe we could put a little blurb or get something on our website explaining to people the importance of retaining some of these hatchery fish, that it's a conservation move to do it. And there again, it's become really vogue to catch and release, but it is important for us to keep these hatchery fish. So thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Well done. Big, loud, well done to all of you. Okay. And that was very efficient.